Hello, everyone, and welcome to the SVGB podcast, also known as the Super Video Game Bros podcast. Already messing up. My name is Kevin. I'm here with Steve and Joey and a special guest today. His name is Alex. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Doing great. So today we're going to talk Sega. He is here to talk a little Sega Saturn import because I know nothing about that or the Sega Saturn. Or Sega. So I'm going to need some help. Sega.
You had a Dreamcast, silly.
I had a Dreamcast, and that's it.
that's all I said. Grind Radio twice.
A million times, yeah. I think I've sold that game and bought it back many times. But let's start with the Master System. And I never had one. So did you guys have one?
Sega console?
Yep.
Never heard of it until later. I was older.
Until the Genesis came out?
No, I never heard of it until I was, like, older. Mm-hmm. I'd say, like, in my 20s.
Oh, wow. Really?
Never heard of it. Never seen it. I was like, where was this at? Just had a big eye for Nintendo, apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I never saw it either.
Nintendo whore, so anything that Sega pumped out, I didn't care.
Yeah. In any magazines, I never saw anything.
I didn't see that. Now, looking back at things, I'll see that random Master System advertisement, but it was still rare.
They had the worst box art for their games,
yeah,
too.
All the white with the blue lines,
and then
the grid. Yeah. No wonder we didn't see it. We're kids. All we can see is color.
Yeah.
We're like raptors or T-Rexes or whatever sees color.
Humans? Yeah, I didn't. All their games that came out were not very good, and I never played them. And when I did play them, finally, the versions that came out were not as good as Nintendo, obviously.
No. I got a Master System once to keep, and I was playing Double Dragon because I thought it was cool because it was two players, the first one. But it's not as good.
Yeah, it's Sega.
It's,
that's enough on the Master System.
That's enough.
But then you have Sega Genesis, which came with Sonic 2. Well, the second coming of Sonic 2. The second packaging came with Sonic 2.
You have to say, like, the second coming.
Yeah, it was, I mean, that's Sonic 2 saved that console.
It was the HD remake of Sonic.
Basically. Because Sonic 1 was on Genesis.
Redefined.
Sonic 2 came out, and that's when everyone started realizing what Sonic was.
Yep. And he's a guy that goes fast and turns into a ball.
Yes. I loved it, man. I thought it was awesome.
I mean, I remember my first time with the Sega Genesis.
I remember my first time too.
it was at my cousin's house, so because like we always had like a Super Nintendo, but he had the Genesis, and we played Altered Beast.
Altered Beast is not a good game.
We'll get into that.
That's a beat 'em up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Altered Beast.
Yeah. Altered Beast is. I don't even think you move fast enough.
It was like side scrolling.
Sitting. Yeah. With playing with Steve, one of those handy the controller deals.
Yeah.
The game is terrible.
The game is not good.
I've never played it.
It's worth playing.
It's worth trying because it is a popular title.
An altered beast.
You turn into a beast. Yeah,
that's a great explanation.
Okay. A werewolf.
Okay.
You turn into a panther.
You turn into some eagle. Yeah, I know it was like some eagle.
The eagle's cool. The eagle's like your power.
It sounds cool.
No, every level has a different power up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's different every time. You're a different animal.
That sounds cool, but what's the main problem?
The last one, you turn into an asshole.
Yeah, and you just
you turn into an asshole.
So it's just a side scroller, and enemies are coming at you, but you move so slow.
So it's the speed that messes up.
Correct.
And you kill people by kicking their shins.
As a human, it's not good.
Okay.
Yeah, you start out as a human.
The detection is so poor.
Yeah.
The only reason why I beat that game because I was playing it on Xbox Live during the arcade one.
Yeah.
And it was unlimited lives, pretty much.
Cheater.
Ah.
Earned Steve a bunch of achievements.
Yeah, there you go. That's the only thing it's good for. Back to Sonic 2.
Okay.
The music in that game is great.
I do remember.
Yeah, that's really good music.
It's good music. For
that's
Genesis.
Really good.
Yeah.
Just the gameplay in general.
Only games that I have my eye on are the shmups, anything made by Renovation, and the Turtles Hyperstone Heist.
I never play that until...
All those are the games I'd be interested in playing and collecting in the future. After I'm done with Super. Other than that...
You had a great collection for a while, and decided to not keep it.
I had Punisher Complete Minty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had a lot of stuff.
You had a Nomad Complete?
I had a Nomad. I was like,
meh.
Yeah, you were done. I mean, Sega.
Yeah.
Meh. Not a fan of that.
It's like a watered-down Super Nintendo. Let's spit it on.
There's only one Sega game I prefer over the Super Nintendo version, and that's Aladdin.
Yeah, it was Aladdin. I heard Lion King was also a lot better on the Genesis.
Yeah, it's just a little smoother.
Mm-hmm. I remember playing
Aladdin.
That's
all it was, yeah.
I played Aladdin a lot on Genesis when I was a kid, and I played John Madden Sports Talk Football.
I played Joe Montana.
Joe Montana. Yes.
Which one? I think Troy Aikman. Joe Montana. One of them was at that angle. I think it was either Troy Aikman or Joe Montana.
I think it was Joe Montana. Well, yeah.
Yeah, that was
stock football.
Not fun.
No.
Not fun at all. And then they came out with, what was the topping? 32X?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I still don't know what that does.
It plays, what, 15 games?
Yeah, 15 games. So, like, Calibri was one of them. Then they had that refined version of Virtual Fighter. And even then,
they had Doom on it, but the music was worse than the Super Nintendo one.
Oh, yeah, the music was okay. Awesome.
So I don't know how that works.
That's not good.
It's better.
There was Temple on it. That was actually a really fun platform.
They made a mistake. They should have made that a separate console, but maybe not. I don't know.
I mean, they did have plans for it.
Neptune?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it was supposed to be a standalone
console. It was called the Neptune, or it was supposed to be a standalone console, but... They went with an attachment instead.
I mean, maybe that helped?
I think they just tried too hard. The Sega CD was kind of a failure.
Was that the same time, or was that...
It was a little bit before.
Period. A little before, but the same period. Like, last five-year window.
So, if you had a Sega CD and
they were just trying
32X at the same time, you would have a beast sitting in front of you.
Oh, no.
Little battle tank?
No, I mean, just the amount of power plugs. It's three power plugs
altogether. Three fatty power plugs.
Damn.
And you can't even if you get...
You'd have to get three...
Three power
cords.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Three power,
whatever they're called.
Power,
you know, the, like,
power strips. Yeah. There we go.
Power
we
blocks,
got it.
Power
we got it.
Bro.
Yeah, there we go. They didn't have surge protectors in the 80s.
They did it.
Power strips.
There was no surges back then.
Well, the 32X probably
life
caused
is so
some.
Simple.
All right, now let's talk about some Sega CD really quick.
Your brother should be here for that. We should postpone that for another day.
Well, there's only like four games. So.
there is quite a few. I mean, you got the Lunar games. You got Snatcher. You got...
Your brother loves
Puffle
that console.
Mail.
Mm-hmm. You have Yeast. Was Yeast Sega CD?
Yeast?
Yeast was not on Sega CD.
Yeast?
No.
I know Shining Force.
You might be thinking of Vey.
Vey.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
Vey.
Yeah.
It looks exactly the same to me.
I think Android Assault was that? Yeah, Android Assault was also on it. That was like one of the few.
You can't forget the classics
Robo-Lesti.
Sewer Shark.
Final Fight was the best port on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great games.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, I wouldn't say great games.
Super Nintendo should have had a CD attachment.
Well, they were, but then...
PlayStation.
Yep.
Stupids.
We already talked about that.
And then we spent 5 minutes talking about all Sega's consoles because they're garbage, and now we're going to get to the Sega Saturn.
They're not garbage, but...
They're
unpreferred.
Because there
us,
was something better.
By us.
I don't know anybody that prefers Sega Genesis over
people
Super Nintendo.
That had it first.
I can't defend it because I never had a Genesis.
It's people who had it first.
So
but there was cool games like Earthworm Jim
like
came out
like
first.
64.
Yeah.
No, 64 I can defend because I had my own system.
Yeah.
So I know what I'm talking about. Genesis, that. I have no idea.
Well, Genesis came out like Vector Man is an awesome game.
Yeah, I did play that one.
Yeah, Earthworm Jim came out first.
Of course, yeah,
Slaughter
Houses. Of course,
there are some good games on there.
Good series.
What else is over?
Musha is good too.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Good music, just all in all, really fun.
Yeah, they had some really good. They had a Phantasy Star.
I like their case. Their case manual and cartridge thing.
That's the best. It's makes it
more preserved.
Yeah, easy for collecting. Awesome. So now let's talk about some Sega Saturn. Games and the console. I believe the console was announced and out at the same time.
Dreamcast, bro.
No, Dreamcast
Saturn.
Was after.
Yeah.
Saturn's first.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
I wish Dreamcast was first.
Would have been amazing.
Again, ahead of its time. A little
so,
too soon.
It was Sega CD, Genesis, and then the Saturn.
Well, Sega Genesis was part of the Sega CD until
right.
they made...
The Saturn.
The Saturn, which they said, here's a new console, and it's out today.
Yes.
Yeah, that was
they
on
messed
e-
up
in
no marketing.
Yeah, that was on
no
e-
marketing.
That was
like
E3 94,
yeah.
95. It was like
it was very expensive, and it came with a light gun game. I don't know if it came with it, but it came with Virtua Fighter.
Yeah, Virtua Fighter was one of them, and it was
then,
a buggy mess.
Yeah,
it was a.
I mean, it was a buggy mess in the arcade.
Well, the arcade played a lot better. It was until they had Virtua Fighter Remix that it really fixed it all.
I've never seen that game fun.
Virtua
Fighter?
No, I definitely...
Why would you play that when there's Street Fighter? I just
yeah, exactly.
See, I actually liked Virtua Fighter because I used to play it at my Chuck E. Cheese back then.
All polygons.
Yes. It's floating.
Too many polygons.
I mean, that was the first 3D... Because
honestly, if you didn't have that
right?
game, you wouldn't have Tekken and you wouldn't have Dead or Alive.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank
yeah,
you
yeah,
for
exactly.
making that game, but it's still not good.
Well, I mean, it was the... But you gotta think about it. It was the one of the first 3D fighters
yeah.
at the time. So, I mean...
We're hardcore on that game, though, man.
I mean...
It's a fighter, man.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
If anything, Virtua Fighter 2 was the better version.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, you know, just because it had refined so much of the physics, it didn't feel as though you were in space. It wasn't like gravity kicks and going,
should have called it gravity kicks. Gravity. That's what they should have called it. That sounds awesome. And they had a Lethal Enforcer, which came with the blue gun, which was fun. I'm a fan of light gun games. I like
there's
all
a
those.
Lot of light. You know, there's a Virtua Cop series. There's
oh, I love two. Virtua Cop. Virtua Cop is one of my favorites.
And then I guess if you're going to talk about a game that did had some light gun features that was actually supposed to have a release here, but it never did. It was announced, but that would be on Police Knots. Police Knots had some sections where it was light gun.
Well, did they use regular controller too?
Oh, yeah. It was.
So you'd have to stop playing and then...
No, I think what you could do is you put it, I think, in the second controller port, and that way you have,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, ready.
Ah.
So was it like a side-scroller then?
Well, it's actually like... it was Kojima's... It was like a visual novel, but, you know, just there were certain sections where, like, for example...
Kojima?
It was Kojima, maybe.
Police Knots, yeah.
That's why, like, if you play, like, the first Metal Gear Solid and you go to Otacon's room, you'll see, like, a poster of, like, Police Knots.
I did not know that. So, do you have it?
Yes. I loved.
You have the poster of Police Knots?
Well, not the poster.
He just has the poster.
No, I mean, I have Police Knots on import PlayStation 1. Okay.
All right, so now it's your time to talk, man. Tell us about some Sega Saturn imports. Tell us.
I mean, it depends what kind of, you know, person you are. There's so many to really talk about.
Let's go with a shmup.
Oh, the shmups. I mean, the shmups in the U.S. market, there really wasn't anything. There wasn't that much. There was like Galactic Attack, which is known as Layer Section in Japan.
Gradius, right?
Yeah, Gradius. It was Gaiden. That was the one that came out here because
Darius Gaiden.
Yeah, because Darius 2 was only Japan.
Somebody know what a Gaiden is?
Gaiden is pretty much in translation would be like, you know, it's not a part of like, you know, the main story arc, so it's kind of like, you know, it's
a side story. A
side story.
But what's a Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah, it's a ninja side story.
A ninja side story.
Yeah, and everything's a side story. Anyways,
but there's so many shmups on the Saturn, at least considering import wise. I mean, you have Batsugan, you have Battle Garega, you have Blastwind, you have Game Tengoku, in translation, Game Paradise. Oh, God. And what's really cool about the Saturn is that they actually kept it pretty much arcade perfect to this, to the extent of like you can actually flip your TV sideways and get that full, you know, arcade perfect, you know,
long stream.
So it was great. I mean, there's. It's so much fun, and I mean, it's a 2D powerhouse. It really was. Mm-hmm. Not only did it do shmups, but it was pretty much able to handle
anything. Just wish most of it... Well, first of all, I just wish the American casing wasn't so ugly and
shallow. Oh, don't even get me started on those cases. It's
freaking
cases.
Terrible, those long cases that
yeah, I hit long
they
cases.
Crack when you sneeze on them.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the imports are so great, and we had none of it, really.
Nah. It was just...
Why do you think that is?
Honestly, I think it was just the marketing was really bad. Because even in Europe, they actually did a lot better than we did. Because they actually got Parodius. You know, because in Japan, it was called Gokujo Parodius. But in Europe, it was just called Parodius. And it was right then and there. And they also had, for those who do actually do Sega CD, they actually had the sequel to KO.
Mm-hmm.
KO never came out here, but it came out in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, because Europe has always been more...
KO's Flying Squadron?
Exactly.
But it came on Sega CD.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But the sequel came out on the Saturn.
Mm.
But we never got it here. In Europe, they did. Because Europe has always been much more Sega-orientated.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've always
said. Yes, they love their Mega Drive, which is Genesis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
why do you think we don't get those shooters, though?
Honestly, I think what it is that you got to remember in the mid-90s or so, everybody was all about, you know, 3D gaming. So, like, they wanted to see 3D stuff. And so, because even then, like, Sega Saturn was actually supposed to be a 2D, you know, machine, all in all.
Sure.
It wasn't until, like, when it was about to release that, everybody was like, you know, all the PlayStation is going to be 3D. All the 64 is going to be 3D. And Sega was like, oh, God. And so they had to actually implement, you know, the 3D effects. So that's why, like, if you look at some of the games that were 3D orientated, they're not as clean and, like...
Burning Rangers.
Burning Rangers was... That was one of the better games. But, like, even if, for example, you look at Panzer Dragoon Saga and you look at something like... You know, Final Fantasy, and even though I'm not a Final Fantasy fan, but like you look at the edges, and they're so much cleaner on a PlayStation than it was on the Saturn. You look at the Saturn, it's very much like blocky. It's very blocky.
Very blurry.
Well, like you said, they just weren't ready. They weren't prepared.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is that what the Saturn did, which in and of itself, it was much more advanced than the PlayStation, is that if you wanted to play fighters, the fighters were some of the best on the Saturn because of the what
it was 2D.
It was 2D, but not only that, they had the RAM cards. And for people who don't know what the RAM cards are, it's like adding RAM to your computer. So that way you can be able to perform much more processes.
What's going on the fighters? Because Steve and you, Alex, both love fighters.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of your favorites?
Some of my favorites would have to be Alpha 3.
Alpha 3, definitely.
Alpha 3, we've had a lot.
You can't go wrong with any of the Alphas, but Alpha 3 is the perfect version on the Saturn import.
Yeah, because they did have it on PlayStation and Dreamcast. Dreamcast was pretty close, but the Saturn version was...
Well, the Saturn had the better controller, right?
Well, it's not just the controller. It's because it was running on the 4 megabit RAM card.
It was a lot smoother.
Literally no missing frames of animation. All the characters, and then some, were even there, because I played your arcade PCB, and I don't remember half of the characters that were on the Saturn version being on the arcade PCB, from what I remember.
Right.
So there was definitely a lot more characters, and all in all, it was just a fun, fast-paced action,
all the Marvel vs. Capcoms on there, Marvel Super Heroes.
Yeah, Marvel Super Heroes.
X-Men vs. Street Fighter. Got all those, but
and then there's
American only had what? Marvel Super Heroes, X-Men, Street Fighter.
No, we actually...
We had them all on PlayStation, they just didn't run a
single. I mean on Saturn.
No, yeah, over here, it was only Marvel Super Heroes. That was the only one that ever came out over here on the Saturn.
Wow.
It was just the first Marvel Super Heroes. Like, if you try to do, like...
X-Men, what about Street Fighter or X-Men versus Street Fighter?
It was only on PlayStation. In Japan, they had the actual big box with the RAM card.
And then they had Alpha 1 and 2. And
yeah,
that's it.
That was it. For here in the States,
What about it? Are there any, like, special fighters that you have?
Darkstalkers, Savior?
Yeah, no. Vampire Savior Darkstalkers 3 was one of the best ports on it, because, again, it uses that 4 megabit RAM card. And what's actually really cool about it is, if you beat the game with no continues, all you have to do is hold down the trigger buttons and hit start, and you open up a special menu, and you can actually change the entire game into the English version of it. It'll have all the character names that were changed. So it'll say, instead of like Beletta, it'll be BB Hood.
Did that game come out in the US?
Never did. Because they had Vampire Hunter, which was just
Darkstalkers.
It was just Night Warriors. It was called Night
Warriors. Oh yeah, they had Night Warriors for the Saturn. Yeah. Yeah, but it was like pretty much the home console that had the most arcade.
Yeah, only that, and then there's also like a lot of fighters that never came out here as well. So like, for example, like Astra Superstars was one of them. Groove on Fight 3, which was for some of the Super Nintendo collectors out there.
What was that one fighting game we were playing?
Yeah, that was Astro Superstars.
Was that it?
Yeah.
It's the one like, $300 or something?
No, it's not $300.
How much is it?
It was like
$150. Oh,
okay. No, the 300. The game that's like $300 would be more like that really awful Final Fight Revenge. If there's a fighter, I highly disregard people.
I've had that sealed, and I couldn't sell that.
It's awful.
Now it's worth like what? Sealed?
It's like
$800.
It's still like anywhere between 3 to 4, but it's such an awful fighter.
Is it Final Fight?
Yeah, Final Fighter.
It's Final Fight Fighter, but it's shitty.
It's awful. Even with the
last game released on
it was console. Yeah, because it came out in like 2000. It's one of the worst fighters.
2000.
it was that bad.
It's one of the worst.
What was wrong with it?
Because even including playing on a 4 megabit RAM card, there's loading times up the wazoo, and that should not happen.
Well, do you think they just tried to?
Well, because even then, I think it was actually made in Capcom USA, not Capcom Japan. Mm-hmm. So, like, they actually did the port. That's what I remember.
And we fucked up shit.
Oh, of course.
That's what I remember. And, yeah. I mean, luckily it didn't come out here, but, like, you try to play it, it's awful. Even, like, it's broken, the way, like, you do the fighting system, it's just, it's awful.
Now, what about RPGs?
RPG-wise, here's what I have to say. If you're going to go with the US side, it's definitely going to be more expensive, but there's again, you can understand it and all that. So I mean, there's great games such as like Saga, there's Magic Knight Rayearth, there's the Dragon Force series, Albert Odyssey.
And this is in the US?
Yeah, this is I'm talking about US releases. Okay. Shining Force. But funny enough though, some of those games did get sequels, but they never came out here. So that's why like Shining Force Scenarios 2, 3, and then there's the premium disc of 3 that was like an even extra pack in. So that we did not get here at all. Mm-hmm. Even in Europe, they never got it.
Why do you think we didn't get the support for anything? Like, we get a couple of RPGs, but we don't get the full support.
I think...
Because RPGs were taking off at that time.
Oh, no, RPGs were definitely taking off at that time. Yeah. But it's just Sega's marketing department for the U.S. was awful.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they were trying to, like, sell stuff, they just... Again, it was bad timing. And you got to remember, a lot of the stores wouldn't even hold Saturns. So, like, for example, KB Toys, remember when they did that announcement?
KB.
So they said no, because none of the employees were ready for it. Mm-hmm. And so they disregarded the Saturn and said, we're not carrying anything Saturn-related. So that was pretty much what really hurt them, even though they wanted to be ahead of the PlayStation, but that was what broke them here.
Interesting.
I think Sony just came in like this, though.
Well, it's not that Sony came. It's not even that Sony came in like that. It's just Sony plant. They said it's gonna come out at this time, and this is what
they planned
ahead. Yeah, but it's just Saturn wanted to. Sega wanted to be ahead of the game.
Yeah.
So that's. I think it's a cool idea to do, but it was just badly implemented.
Well, the only thing I remember them marketing for that was Virtua Fighter.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing I can physically remember flipping through a magazine and seeing Virtua Fighter and Lethal Enforcers, and that's it.
Yeah, because actually, when I would look at magazines, I actually remember seeing Saga, Burning Rangers, and this is, again, all U.S. releases as well. A few others, but definitely wasn't really, you know.
Yeah, the exposure was very light.
Very light.
Mm. I mean, if I knew that they had, like, the Alphas on there...
Mm-hmm.
The Mega Man was on there too, right? Seven Mega Man and X.
Well, X right? only or X. Seven, well, no. X4 was at least I'm talking about here in the U.S. It was X4, but in Japan, oh no, actually here too.
Mega Man 8. X4 and 8.
Yeah, 8 was here, but X3 was only Japan released.
Oh, yeah.
No.
But if I didn't even knew those were on here, I would have been like, awesome. I would have.
Yeah.
I had no idea until I was older. I was like, oh, all these amazing games are on the American Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out more from the imports, all these amazing games on the imports. I'm like, geez.
Yeah, no, because like.
They really dropped the ball here because it's an amazing console.
No, honestly.
Sega Saturn is freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But what's funny is that the cartridge slot, what a lot of people really wanted it to be was a Genesis slot. But it was just they couldn't really.
It was the RAM, right?
But it was a RAM card and a memory card. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they wanted it to be a Genesis card.
What game uses the memory card?
So, like, for example. I mean, memory cards in general, just so that way.
For RPGs.
For RPGs, because the thing that's notorious.
Multiple slots?
Well, the thing that's notorious with the Sega Saturn is that you have to be very careful because the CR2032 battery dies out over time.
Yes.
And so, like, for example, if you just did that, you know, run of, like, Darkstalkers 3 without, you know.
Backing it up.
And without backing it up, it's gone. All your saves are gone.
Yeah.
And so, that's why it's good to at least, you know, back it up on your memory card and. You know, so that way, if anything happens to that CR2032 battery, you got it at least on that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have, like, you know, there's two RAM cards. So you got the 1 megabit, which was predominantly SNK games. Mm-hmm. So, like, your King of Fighters 96, 97, your Metal Slugs, even though this is not an SNK game, but Groove on Fight 3, that was another one that required it. Fatal Fury, you know, Garou Densetsu as well. But, yeah, that was great.
Mainly the Japanese import. Really used them for Meg.
Oh yeah,
we just had it for a memory card.
Yeah, we just.
And that's
had
another
it.
Thing. It's like,
but what's funny is that
half of their development.
What's funny though is if you actually put the RAM
so
card.
Weird to me.
Do you think it had to do with licensing? Maybe like certain people.
I don't think it really was licensing. They just didn't really know how to market it.
It's just stupid though. It's just port it over. It's like the easiest thing you do.
No, I mean again, it's you know it's one thing.
Can you imagine having a Radiant Silver Gun American version?
Ooh, who would? You know,
I mean, I know nothing about marketing, but. If they market it in Japan, how hard is it to?
Oh no, but I mean,
just translate.
Yeah, but the thing
that's
is,
what I'm saying. Right?
But the thing is, in Japan, like, you know, it's easy to market because
we
have
love Japanese culture. So let's keep it the same.
We've
always loved it.
Put up a Japanese commercial, I'd be like, I want that.
Yeah,
because it's
but the thing is like, even though the Japanese commercials are crazy, if you ever watched any of the Sega Saturn, commercials,
like, even now
with Sega Tasanshiro, it's insane.
Yeah.
They're totally like off the wall. But I mean. I think that's what really helped in Japan is because of all those wacky commercials and whatnot. But the thing is like they're used to that.
Yeah.
But whereas here, like, we kind of want a little bit more seriousness.
Yeah.
You know,
talk to me straight, boy.
Tell me what you got.
Because, like, if you think about it, like, I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember the commercial for Yoshi's Island on the SNES?
I do not.
Oh, it was a terrible commercial.
It was like.
It was a fat guy just eating.
Right.
Just eating. I'm not really making that up. It really was. And he exploded onto, like, everybody in the cafeteria.
There was another one where it had, like, throw up on the wall, right? Or something on the wall.
And then
is that Japanese or is that
no,
US?
No, this was
US.
Here. This was here.
Yeah.
Wow. Man.
But the Japanese commercials aren't, like even that weird.
No.
Like, that's weird. That's
weird. Yeah.
That's very
But, like, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
right?
I've seen them. Yeah,
because
I've seen the advertisement in, like, the Nintendo Power.
Yeah.
And it shows, like, the crib.
Or like Kirby. There was, like, one where you just see, like, a bunch of, like, you know, people that were, like, just pink and, like, you know, bally, just like Kirby. And they were just all in the doctor's office, just, like, bouncing around the walls and whatnot. And, like, that was, I think, for, like, Kirby's Adventure 3 or something like that. But, like, you know, like, you look at it and be like, oh, that's kind of weird as a kid and whatnot. But then you look at it as, like, an adult and you're like, oh, that was really weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it got our attention.
I mean, yeah. Like, I mean, to this day, I still remember.
I want to see that Yoshi.
No, honestly.
We're done. We're going to watch it.
I'm really not making that up. I really wish I could make that
up. Well, did Yoshi come in and, like, eat the stuff that was in his stomach?
No, Yoshi did not come at all. You just see, like, a little bit of the gameplay at the end.
So, but
eat like Yoshi.
Yeah, we're just trying to figure out why that is. No, were they making fun of fat Americans? Like,
I don't know, but I just remember to this day it was burned into my brain as
well, we were the fattest country back then. So we're not anymore. What Mexico is.
Yep. Thank you, Mexico. Quesadillas are delicious. Yeah, man. I just don't remember seeing any commercials for Sega games at all?
No, I definitely remember commercials. Because
I remember a lot of commercials. Come on, the T-Rex from...
Yeah.
Oh, Sega. Yeah.
But even then, you had that one dude that was like dressed in like silver. He'd be like, watch out for the Sega Saturn.
The whole Sega guy.
Sega. I remember Sega. Oh, when he used to like come out the screen, right?
Yeah.
Like sideways? Like, yeah. Well, they did have an awesome tagline.
But they had no advertisement for the Saturn and no advertisement for Dreamcast. It was all just Genesis.
Well, yeah, they had Sega does, Nintendo don't. Yeah, that was their tagline.
Game Gear.
Game Gear. Yeah. Let's talk about some Game Gear.
Yuckies.
I love Game Gear.
So, yeah,
no, I love like one game on Game
Gear. It was cool. It was cool back then because it was color and handheld, but...
It took up 6 AA batteries.
And it burned them in 4 hours.
If that, maybe.
Damn. It's probably like, I've heard it was like 2 hours.
But I got mine for Christmas. I asked for it.
Well, you got one.
Oh, yeah, I got one. I got the blue one that came with Lion King.
Oh, wow.
And I love that game so much.
Yeah, it was awesome as a kid. I never had a portable experience as a kid, though.
Nah, I definitely had some portable experience.
Yeah, I had Game Boy and Game Gear. Mm. And at the time, I mean, it was color. And it would light up, and you could play it at night.
Yeah.
So you'd go under your covers, you'd turn on the Game Gear, and then the red light would come on because your batteries would be dead.
2 hours later?
Yeah, but I mean, eventually I got smart and just bought the AC adapter and just played next to a wall. And they had... I don't even think they had like Arch Rivals. They had
that would never go over nowadays. An AC adapter for a 3DS to play next to a wall.
I mean, no. You basically have to do that with a Wii U though. Yeah. That controller lasts like 5 seconds.
Yeah, it does kind of suck.
Yeah,
that's kind of a dumb idea.
I don't understand battery life. Just get it down. Just make it a little heavier. That's fine. Put a bigger battery in there. Yeah, that's all I want.
Pay another $20 if you have to.
We'll get used to it. That's fine.
Yeah, literally, the Wii U pad lasts like 4 hours. Pops.
Well, even PlayStation, like when I would play Rocket League for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
Damn, got
the controllers.
Yeah. It's like, come on, like I just want to play.
That's why you have two controllers, though. See.
Well, but that's the only thing I like about Xbox is its batteries.
That's so weird, though. I don't.
It's weird, but at the same time, I mean, we're all '80s kids, so
just pop it in.
I still get batteries for Christmas. Like my mom still buys me batteries. Like in my stocking, I get batteries. That's awesome. I love batteries.
Yeah.
Like, I just love being able to say, oh, hold on, switch out my batteries really quick and then put them back in and I'm ready to play.
Yeah.
Instead of having to, PlayStation comes with a 1 foot cord. You have to sit in front of your 65 inch television with a 1 foot cord. It doesn't work.
Why don't you just get a laptop and just connect it to the laptop?
Because that makes sense.
I was like,
It shouldn't be, like, you shouldn't have to do that. It's those little things.
I have extra controllers. That was my way to combat that. Because, I have the same issue as you. It's like a 3 foot cord. Be really close to charge.
If you have a small TV, it's fine. But if you got 50.
Yeah, you have one controller, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You have to have two to charge them. Just keep.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I love wired. I do love wired.
Because I bought the charging kit for Xbox controller. Because I don't like batteries.
How many games
it's a waste of money.
How many games did you lose because somebody tripped over a cord?
Oh man! What do you mean? How many times I've lost
Final Fantasy VII.
No, that
happened.
And my mom walks in front of me.
No, I've lost a system because of
that happened a lot with my 64 with friends playing.
Oh man!
But that thing was, you could throw it against the wall and it was still.
Oh
right.
Yeah, the 64.
The beauty of the cartridge. Yeah.
Nintendo.
Yeah, right? Cartridge. Beauty of it.
Yeah,
PlayStation was the worst. If you move that thing too much, the memory card gets dislodged and it erases everything.
The game freezes.
Oh, dude.
Yeah,
I didn't have the problem.
So many. I
had quiet moments on my PlayStation. Nobody bugging me. It was there on the shelf. Nobody tripping over my controller.
I had a lot of GameCube mishaps too.
Dude, yep. GameCube mishaps. Yep.
But that thing is built like a brick house too. Like that.
Well, I'm not worried about how it's built. I'm worried about you're gonna throw off the disc and everything's gonna.
Yeah.
I just spent 6 hours and I didn't save anything.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah,
I could enjoy the whole automatic saving now. I appreciate that.
Metal Gear.
I do too, but games need to tell you when they don't have the automatic save. Well, like, Ori in the Blind Forest does not have an automatic save.
Because even the Grim Fandango HD doesn't have that either. But they let you know at the beginning, it's like, this game does not save automatically.
Who reads that, though? Nobody reads that. That's it, yeah. They think it's a cutscene and they skip it.
Ori may cause seizures.
Yeah, seizures, I don't care. Seizures. Yeah, I always play in the dark. When it says you can cause a seizure, I'm like, hell yeah.
it's going to be awesome.
Tell you, yeah.
People.
It's time to get epilepsy.
Man. I wanted a Sega Saturn until I saw the Sega Dreamcast. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, that's enough. What is this? Mm. What is this beautiful white thing?
Beautiful white thing.
There's something about the Sega Dreamcast that sucked me in, and I don't know what it was.
Honestly, it was just...
The parents...
I think it was just all the stores that had them, because every store I would go to had a kiosk. Because I remember going to Target, I remember going to Kmart, I remember just, there was always a Sega Dreamcast kiosk. Mm-hmm. And I remember playing Jet Ride Radio, or Jet Set Radio.
They shouldn't have gave up like they did, they didn't need to.
Well, the thing is that it came out at the time where, it came out a little too early. Yeah. If it was like around the same time.
It was way ahead of its time, no, by at least like 2 years.
Oh no, I agree. But the thing is, I think what also killed them,
6 months later, GameCube and PS2 were coming out, right?
Yeah. Something but like I think that. What else, again, what killed them is that PS2 had a DVD player. And everybody was like, that was the cheapest DVD player at the time.
Yeah.
Because, like, DVD players at the time were like $500-$600 or something like that. And they were stupid expensive. And whereas the PS2 was like 300, I would say, at the time.
Yeah.
How much was the Dreamcast? 250?
Yeah. About 250. So even though the Dreamcast was cheaper, but again, like, everybody was like...
The Dreamcast was the best.
No, it had the better games. It did. So, like, you know, whether you're talking about arcade ports, especially, like, Marvel...
Well, it had a good start.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It had a first start.
Well, not only that, like, they had the better Marvel vs. Capcom. They had a better Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
The Tony Hawk's were better.
The Tony Hawk's
The Resident Evils that they put out were better.
Yeah. And even then, you got to remember, too, they had the better, you know, even though a lot of people don't have it, but the VGA box was, like, you know, crisp. Mm-hmm. Full 1080p. I mean, yeah, there's a few select games that still don't use it, but there's bypasses on that, especially now that there's the Baharius' VGA box that can, like, you know, do 15 kilohertz games. So, for example, if you're trying to play Gunbird 2 on VGA, you can do it now with that box.
And think about all the awesome games they have on there right now.
Oh, yeah.
And like, how long was it out? A year?
Yeah.
I mean, how much more damage they could have done in another 4 years?
Oh, yeah. Because even then, like, they had Project Justice.
They probably would have had, like, you know, Final Fantasy VII port, another one, some kind of other stuff.
Yeah, their RPGs were beautiful and great, and their sports games. Oh, 2K, man.
Yeah.
2K gave Madden a run for
Blitz,
the money.
Blitz was awesome.
Yeah,
Blitz,
a lot of Capcom games.
That controller, like, I loved playing Tony Hawk on that controller. It just felt right. I don't remember if it was joystick and the D-pad.
Yeah,
right?
You're right.
Joystick and the D-pad.
Yeah.
And then what hooked me was being able to play mini games on my VMU card.
Yeah. I know Power Stone was one of them that did it.
I think Sonic did too. Sonic did raise Sonic. Your little thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's only a few select games.
Man, there's a lot of weird stuff on that console that paved the way for a lot of stuff that we're playing now.
Well, not only that, but it was one of the first, like, because I mean, yeah, even though Saturn did had, like, you know, the Netlink, but it was only running like on 56K.
Mm-hmm.
The Dreamcast was one of the first ones. I mean, yeah, they had to buy an apparatus to use the, you know, the actual modem of DSL at the time.
Yeah,
but it was one of the first DSL compatible.
Super Street Fighter Turbo was an online thing. Mm-hmm. You would find matches online in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with Vampire Resurrection.
Yeah.
Well, Phantasy Star.
Phantasy Star. Yep.
I think they just shut down those servers, and people are still upset about it.
No, people are making their own servers
now. They make their own servers for GameCube. It's a fan made server.
To this day, they're still making servers, and even to this day, they're still making games for the Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm. Like the graphics on the Dreamcast were so smooth.
Oh yeah,
they were so beautiful. Like when they did the ports for Tony Hawk 1 and Tony Hawk 2, I don't know if they did one, but I know they did two.
I think they did do one.
It was just so smooth.
Yeah,
and it was beautiful. And then you could see people's faces. Like that's when you started to see people's faces, like in sports games and Tony Hawk, and you started to recognize what people were.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Power Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Power and you Stone have too. One of my favorite games, which is Virtua Tennis.
That was a really fun game.
Dude, Virtua Tennis, just, oh my god. Yeah. Hours. And then, hundreds of hours on that game.
Mark of the Wolves was another really fantastic
game. Sword of the Berserk.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great game. Jet Grind Radio, which had the cel shade. First time I actually played like a cel shaded
Yeah, I want to say that was one of the first early
games. Yeah. I think so. Mm. The music in that game was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
The control in that game was incredible. Mm. I mean, you're on rollerblades tagging up a city.
Not only that, you can actually upload some of your tags onto like the internet.
Yes, you could.
You could.
Mm. Yeah. You have to find them in the city, and then you can go into your garage and then make them. And,
yeah.
That's insane.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Crazy Taxi.
Oh,
Jesus.
Taxi. Yeah.
Crazy Taxi. The
Crazy Taxi.
Oh, so
was
good.
That one game that they're making Part 3? That was on Dreamcast?
I'm trying to think. Part 3.
Super popular. It's actually going up.
Shenmue.
Oh, Shenmue. Yeah,
Shenmue.
I back
Shenmue,
that.
Yeah.
I back
yeah, me
that.
Too.
That was,
so we'll get it.
Physical copy?
Oh, yeah, of course. PS4.
Yeah, that was huge on that console.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that game. I mean, that game, you would have to do these, like, it was almost like Animal Crossing and some other third-person game. Like, you would have to do these minimal tasks. You'd get into a forklift and have to do chores. It was the weirdest game. But it was so intense, and there were so many details in that game that you didn't want it to stop.
Honestly, without that game, we wouldn't have the Yakuza series. Because Yakuza series was definitely based off of Shenmue.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love the Yakuza series, but we have to really give thanks to Shenmue for...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shenmue, and then Shenmue 2 was on Xbox.
And it was also in
European
Dreamcast. Oh, European Dreamcast. Mm. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And of course Japan, but you know, that's another story.
So you don't focus on Dreamcast at all, right?
I got some Dreamcast stuff, because, like, you know...
A lot of shoot-em-ups?
Yeah, some of the shoot-em-ups, the fighters, so, like, you know, Project Justice I have.
And people still make games for these consoles, too.
Yeah. That was the problem. The problem with the Dreamcast was the pirating.
Yeah. Especially if you had the very first 99 model Dreamcast, that was it was region free.
Play burnt copies.
Everything was burnt.
Yeah, it was. Not only that, it was region free. You can actually play if you had the 99 model. Like it was region free. It was after that they started, like, you know,
chipping it.
Started getting smart about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got awesome indie games that's made just recently. You know, last 5 years, Last Hope. All those other ones.
Yeah, I can't think of.
I can't think of any either, but.
There's so many of them, right?
Well, you have Sonic Adventure 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Which people thought that's the direction Sonic was going to go in, and that didn't happen for some reason.
Honestly, it was one of the... That was the game I would always play at, like, my Target.
Well, that was the Mario 64 for Dreamcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was perfect, and that game is great, and I don't understand why they just can't do it again. They just destroyed Sonic after that.
Yeah.
After part two, there was really no other good 3D Sonic.
They give Sonic a machine gun.
That was Shadow.
I know, but I'm saying that's what they did to Sonic. They said, let's just give him a machine gun.
Did that come out on Dreamcast, or was that GameCube?
No, that's all PS2.
That's
PS2 and GameCube? GameCube.
Mm-hmm. Xbox.
Well, that's what Americans want. We want to shoot stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't want to outrun an orca. We don't want him to destroy the bridge behind us. Yeah. We don't want that. We want to shoot the orca. That's what we want.
Forget the whales.
Any other standout games for Dreamcast? I mean, there's tons. Skies of Arcadia.
Skies of Arcadia, definitely.
Power Stones. Well,
Capcom Power 1 and 2. Stones.
Oh,
yeah. Marvel vs. Capcom
2. I bought that from KB Toy Store.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Capcom versus SNK 2, even though that didn't come out here. That was a fantastic port on the Saturn. I mean, Dreamcast. Dreamcast.
Americans don't really know about SNK. Unless they play, like, imports.
Well, no, because you got to remember the Neo Geo.
The Neo Geo crowd knows about them.
The Neo Geo crowd is
all 600 people?
600 people?
Pretty much, man.
The Neo Geo was awesome.
Everyone's played Metal Slug, but anything after that, they just have no idea.
I wouldn't say that, because you got the King of Fighters games on the Dreamcast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, a lot of them only came out in Japan, but we still had 99.
Mm-hmm.
Carnage Revenge.
Because, like, we in Japan, they had 2000, 2001, and I believe up to 2002.
Mm-hmm.
At least Dreamcast Saturn. I mean, Dreamcast-wise. I don't know why I keep on wanting to say Saturn.
Dreamcast Saturn?
Ooh, see, that'd be good. Yeah, man, the Dreamcast, it came and went 2 years?
Yeah, because it was like in 2000, 2001 when the PS2 came out.
Mm-hmm. So, I was like, see ya. What do you think would have happened in the gaming atmosphere if Dreamcast stayed around?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think...
Because it was ahead of its time.
No, it really was ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also at the same time, they didn't have a lot of the full, like, the third-party support or, like... Because honestly...
Capcom.
I mean, yeah, Capcom was one of them, but I mean...
They could have had Mega Man Legends on that thing.
Yeah, they could have,
but... Oh, God, that would have been amazing.
But at the same time, though, like, I don't remember any Square games on Dreamcast. I don't remember one.
No. PlayStation.
What about Konami? for a Dreamcast.
Konami.
Is there any games?
No Metal Gears.
No Metal Gears.
Even though, yeah, they did that Bleem casting for Metal Gear 1.
Yeah.
But that's not really.
That's like a third party.
Yeah.
I don't think Konami.
There was no Konami either.
I don't think.
Damn. You had a couple of Rockstar games. You had Activision.
Yeah.
You had Sega. You probably had Atari.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they had some of those like collect. Like,
Midway.
Midway was one of them.
Midway, you had 2K.
For Capcom, they wouldn't have much on that.
Oh, no.
Capcom really big chunk.
Yeah.
Well, once they Sega created 2K Sports, I think that was the game changer.
Well, 2K Sports was awesome.
Like, yeah.
That was,
it was better. It literally was the best. Yeah. It was the best basketball and the best football.
Oh, no. I agree. Because you play the Madden ones and they're just bleh.
Yeah.
In comparison, yeah.
Yeah. Like Game Day and Madden on PlayStation were just not nearly as good as 2K.
As the 2Ks.
Oh, 2K was, it was so smooth. You can create your own player and you could play this gigantic season. And then you started to be able to play online.
Yeah. But I think that
I don't think it would have mattered too much because PlayStation 2 had their exclusives.
Yeah.
GameCube had their exclusives. Sega has their exclusives.
Mm-hmm.
But I think again, it was just bad timing. Honestly, I think if Dreamcast probably had some kind of like of a DVD player like capability, whether it be like an add-on or something.
Could have made a model too.
They could have. They could have. You're right. But they didn't.
What about, did the PS2 get pirated a lot too?
Pirated?
Probably later, because I know it happened.
Yeah,
a lot.
People got the hard drives and they put it in the big ones.
Yeah.
And that would load the ROM.
Okay.
Yeah, I never remember anybody saying, "Hey, come play my burnt games on PS2.
I was one of the, because I did that like, I think it was like 05 or 06, but that was with Swap Magic, and that was when I started really getting
the whole little thing.
Swap Magic.
Yeah, well, you put the disc in and then take it out and then put in the burnt one?
Well, you can put it in the burnt or you can put it in the import. And I specifically used it for imports, because that's my first three games on the import PS2.
When did you learn to speak Japanese?
I think that was when I started really starting to like, it was like 05, 06. No, yeah. Around that time.
And did you basically learn to play?
Yeah, because what I would do is, for example, like if I was playing, like for example, Tales of Rebirth, which was on the PS2, I would look at it, I would listen, I had my laptop, and I would just try and type it out.
Nobody has time for that, Alex.
I know nobody has time for it, but I wanted to know like what's going on, and I would, you know, then I would have like a document and be like, okay, this means that, that means this means that, and furthermore, and then later on, then I kind of stopped, and then I had that injury in my lower back, and depression sucks, and so that's when I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna learn languages.
And so, smart.
Everybody's like, kill me.
Say depression sucks in Japanese, please.
No.
It's probably like 10 minutes long.
No, I just don't want to. it was just, you know, if you really want to say, you know, just the worst is like sayaku. It's just, that's how you say like the worst.
Or, mm-hmm. So you have your back to blame for learning Japanese.
Yeah.
Did you ever want to get into translating games as a career?
I've done translation projects with people. So for example, like Valkyria Chronicles 3 on the PSP, I actually had a little bit of part in it.
Awesome.
I personally, hands down, the best Valkyria Chronicles game. And I would even like translate some of the games that weren't even coming out here. So for example, like when Catherine, that was like one of the biggest ones that I did too, it was like I would translate trophies for people for Catherine. Because like I was one of the few people that like platinum the game. And, like,
that game was great.
And it was a great game, but at the same time, like, just it was so unique. Even though people were like, "Oh, I want a Persona 5." I mean, yet now we're getting it, but at the time,
the game was very Japanese. Catherine.
Not really.
Let's say for me, that game is very Japanese.
Because like, honestly, it's set in like Chicago.
but like the game itself is out there.
Oh no! I mean, but you gotta think about it. It's like
Atlas, man.
It's like a Freddy Krueger movie.
Yeah.
Because like, if you die in the dream world, you die in real life. Mm-hmm. That's what it was based off of. If you think about it.
Yeah.
But it was definitely out there, but it was just the gameplay. It was like Q-Bert on crack.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it was.
Exactly
what
it, was. Yeah. It was a sexy Q-Bert.
I mean,
sexy, scary Q-Bert.
But I think that's really how, I guess, my passion for just, you know, learning languages really came to be.
But do you ever want to pursue translating games in the future?
I've thought about it, but that's not really what I want to do. Especially because, like, I've done a lot of projects where, like, you know, it's just like a one or two man team. It sucks. Yeah. It really sucks. Yeah. If I had like a big team.
Well, that's what you. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, would you go into a giant company? And work for a giant company.
It's not really. From what I've heard from people, it's really not as fun as you know.
A lot of pressure. Because deadlines.
Yeah. Well, you don't meet the deadlines anyway. Which is the fact.
Yeah. Nobody especially nowadays, everybody's just like trying to like you know throw things.
I don't even think deadlines exist anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like dates are fake.
And even then, like to this day, I still notice like weird translations on like some games, and I'm like, why did you say that? Mm-hmm. Like, it just doesn't make sense. But I mean. All in all, like, people have their quirks and what they like and what they don't like. And honestly, if you want to learn a language, do it. But if not, well.
Just do it.
Just, you know.
Shia LaBeouf. Shia. Tell him Shia. Yeah, I think Japanese is the language to learn if you're going to do it. I mean, that's because they do have the best. They have better games than us. Mm. They really do. But, I don't know.
I mean, in reality, if you already know Spanish, you know the vowel system already. A, E, U, E, O. It's like, boom, you got your
basics. This is a video game podcast. You're boring me.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you already have your...
You're boring me here.
Well, nowadays, all the imports are pretty much here.
Yeah. So there's really not that many, like, exclusive...
We got everything now.
Well, but the problem is we get it 4 years later.
We got it.
Not necessarily, because even then, Metal Gear Solid, Phantom Pain came out here first before it did in Japan.
But a lot of Japanese Nintendo games, they get...
Yeah.
Dude, their 3DS library is insane.
Oh, no, yeah. If you're going to talk about...
We're never going to get those games.
Oh, you know, if you're talking about portables, yeah, no, they have way more portables in Japan than they do. Yeah,
special editions.
Yeah.
The wazoo.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, every game that comes out gets its own console. So, for everything. I don't understand that. But yeah, I mean,
even the Dragon Quest Heroes, it got its own console edition in Japan. It was
with the melted thing on it.
With the melted silver slime on it. Metal slime.
Yeah, so weird. That's what they do when they give us.
And then we get the Call of Duty 3 console.
Dude,
we get a mini fridge, fat Americans. We get a mini fridge.
I saw that Call of Duty console. That's actually got a cool design. It was like silver with like the orange lines or something like that. Or am I talking about a different console variant?
It's Call of Duty.
I agree. It's Call of Duty, but that console variant actually looks cool.
That's Call of Duty.
Are Call of Duties popular in Japan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's the funny thing is they first release them actually subtitled.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is Jimakuban. Yeah, that's the one I was talking about.
You see that bad boy? Nope.
Hmm.
It looks like a Call of Duty console.
Has nubbies.
Nice and orange. Orange and black.
No, they first come out subtitled, and then they actually release, you know, dubbed versions, which is Fuki Kaiban.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of like in movie theaters, like at least like when I was in South America, it was like you either can watch it subtitled or dubbed.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all we have to talk about today. Is there anything else? You want to tell us about that convention new?
Anything new? The SoCal Retro Gaming Expo?
Tell me about it.
In January 2016.
Tell me about it.
On the 30th and 31st.
When? What day?
Absolutely.
What day is that again?
The 30th and 31st.
All right.
That's a Saturday and a Sunday.
Perfect.
Check www.socalretrogamingexpo.com for details.
Perfect. That was Micro Machine Fest, Steve. Nice. Good for you. Yeah. I don't think there's anything new out this week.
No. We're Nathan Drake Collection is next Tuesday.
And then when's Tony Hawk come out?
Today. Or... Tuesday. Last week. It came out already. This week.
Yeah.
It already came out?
Yeah.
I haven't seen any reviews for it.
It's buggy.
Yeah, it's really buggy.
It's buggy.
Hmm. Dang, I was looking forward to that.
No, you weren't. You don't have a console.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
You liar.
I'm looking forward to Rock Band.
You're a liar.
That's this week.
That's gross.
I'm going to steal your Xbox and I'm going to play Rock Band. Trash. I'm going to buy a $250 game and not have a console.
Still playing Metal Gear. Thank you.
Yeah, you're still playing Metal Gear?
I'm still playing Metal Gear.
Hey,
yeah.
Joe's here, everyone, if you didn't... Joe's here. Unfortunately, we all don't know very much about Sega, so that's probably why we're quiet. So let Alex do his thing.
I think we talked to him good.
You talked to him out. I just went, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll be going to Portland in a couple weeks.
We're going to Portland for the...
Voodoo Donuts.
We're going for donuts, and that's it. that's all I'm good for.
And we're going to go home, that's it. Mm-hmm. And we're going for the Portland Retro Gaming Expo in Portland. Convention Center.
And this is how many years have they been doing this?
This is year 10 for them.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So we're not going when it's new and terrible.
Right.
Perfect.
They're established. They're with the biggest on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Because we heard about this one. We heard about this convention in Vegas, right?
We heard about this convention a long time ago, but it was in Portland. We all knew it would take a lot of, you know, planning and money.
Mm-hmm.
So we're finally there.
Well, that's your job.
Yeah, planning and money.
Yeah.
And we're no longer going to Vegas because, you know that works. They might even have one next year.
they closed down the Riviera.
Oh.
Rest in peace, man.
We did. It was a good time.
All those red cockroaches.
The Riviera. You're probably standing in cum. That's how gross that place was. But it was worth it.
It was fun, man.
It was fun.
I'm done.
We had our memories there.
It's definitely worth it. Mm. The convention itself was not good.
No.
Nah.
It was close, but
no,
it was not good.
It wasn't.
I hope this one is really good, and I'm looking forward to it.
He's like, I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be fun. We'll do good. We usually do good at all conventions. Just
what are you going to be selling?
Retro gaming stuff, mm-hmm. like keyboards and mouses.
Stop it.
Old headsets.
Stop it.
Retro.
Oh, PC retro.
Get out of here.
Selling a lot of stuff, man.
But you're focusing on are you focusing on higher end Super Nintendo?
High end stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice, good.
High end stuff.
Right. Anything super special that you want to talk about?
No, it's secrets, man.
Oh, man. Come on. I want to know. I'll find out.
Yeah, check our Instagram, Super Video Game Bros.
Super Video Game Bros. Instagram.org.
.com.
That's not real.
.net. No,
at Super Video Game Bros. On Instagram.
You'll find our detailed inventory that we'll be bringing to Portland.
Perfect. All right, guys. Well, that'll do it for the SVGB podcast, also known as the Super Video Game Bros. Podcast. My name is Kevin, along with Steven, Joey, and Alex. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me.
All right. And we will see you in 2 weeks because we will be going to... Wait, no. We'll be doing one before Portland.
Yes, on the 15th.
Yes, but not next week. So we're going to skip next week, do a pre-Portland, then maybe. A post-donut Portland, maybe.
Post-donut?
Can we do one at Portland?
Technically,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys can.
Do I want to?
Technically.
Probably not. I want Joey to be there. Because he's not going to Portland.
Yeah. I'm not
going to
be there. No.
But I want Joey to sit with us and waste his time while we talk about Portland.
Let's do a Skype Portland.
Ooh.
Ooh.
But you have to do it in your undies. He said yes, folks. He said yes, folks. All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.